Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Hey, good morning. It's so good to see you. And I'm John Adams, Pastor Emeritus. And so we're diving today into verses 15 through 18. We've been in a series out of Romans. We just teach through the scripture around here. And so we're in verses 15 through 18. If you have your Bibles or your handhelds, open them up so you can grab the context. You'll see the words also on the screen. But in this passage, it wrestles with the question that maybe you've had if you've read this passage, and it may have crossed your mind, and it's this: if we're under grace, does that mean that we can live however we want? Well, Paul tackles this head on, and his answer is a resounding, remember it, the phrase, by no means, which Tim said a few weeks ago. It's like, wash your mouth out with soap. Keep those dirty words out, you know. By no means, Paul is saying in a clear way. He's saying, no, you're not free to just go sin because you're under grace. So what does it mean that followers of Jesus are under grace? And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at both what it's not and what it is. So it's real simple. And we're going to see how this grace frees us to live really well in a changed life. So look at the passage with us today. We're going to start in verse 15 of Romans chapter 6. And as we remind you every week, this is God's amazing, holy word. Thanks be to Him. What then? Are we to sin because we are under law? Not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now let's circle back to where Tim left off last week in verse 14. This is an important connector. It says there, Paul writes, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, you remember the context here that Paul is writing to the Roman church, comprised of both Jews and Gentiles. And what he's saying here, in essence, is for believers, followers of Jesus, sin no longer has dominion over you. It doesn't dominate you. It does not control you. It did once, but now it doesn't. And so sin is not the main thing that rules your thoughts in your life, though you still deal with sin. So why does sin not dominate you? Well, he gives the answer here. He says, well, you who know Jesus, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So again, lots of words here, but what does grace mean, for example? We hear that word a lot around here. Grace is, one way to define it is this way. It's an undeserved gift of forgiveness and adoption into God's family that never ends. That's pretty good, right? Man, if you have that, if you're adopted into God's family, you're forgiven, it never ends. There could be nothing better than this. And due to grace, as Tim preached last week, we saw that it means that we're going to be changed by his life-giving work. So, now, what does it mean to be under the law versus under grace? And this has been confused. A lot of Bible teachers have taught different things, but I'm going to tell you that this is what this church, I really believe, believes this about what it means to be under law and under grace. Let me explain it. Under the law means this. In the Old Testament times, Old Testament believers, those who were the Jewish people who looked by faith to the coming Messiah, they had to look forward to Christ. Now, but they were in a season that was dominated by the law. Remember, every time they sinned, they had to bring an offering, drag it up to the temple, or buy it there, and sacrifice. Or they had to go to all these big-time festivals. You know, their free time was given over to going like these week-long time religious feasts and festivals. And they were in a season, an era, you know, under the law. But again, then we come to the time of Jesus. And remember, when Jesus comes, it doesn't mean he abolished the law. Really, look, we may not be under the law today, but we still have to keep it. Not all the sacrificial and ceremonial laws. No, but the law of God, the moral law of God, is summarized in the Ten Commandments. That's good for all of us. It's just as good today as it was back then. But we keep it under with his power, with his help, because we're in a new season, the season the angels and the prophets looked forward to the season of grace when Christ, as we sung this morning, completed all the work. And he did it, and it's done. And now we live in this glorious new season, which is called a season of being under grace. Now, so we're going to look at just briefly, what does it mean, starting in verse 15, Paul continues to teach what it means to be under grace, and we're going to first of all look at what it's not, and then what it is. So first of all, being under grace, it's not free to sin. Look at verse 15, really cuts to the chase, where Paul is anticipating the potential misunderstanding of grace, and he shuts it down immediately in this letter. I love how he does this. Verse 15, look at it again. He says, are we sent to sin because we are not under law? Remember, the era of the law, but under grace, the era or season of the grace, of grace. He goes, by no means. No way. Come on. You see, grace is not a free pass, you know, to do whatever we please. In fact, you remember, if God is our King, and he is for many of us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord, but even for those who are not, he is the ruler of the universe. And think about it. He's pardoned all of us who've trusted Jesus of all of our sins. We have like zero penalty to pay. Do you realize that? Zero. That's what you do. You pay nothing, and you get this amazing free gift from Christ. And so what he's saying here is, if we think we can live however we want and don't trust God and resist our sin, it's like a slap in the face of our great King of the universe. We would never want to do that. He is the great and good God, holy and set apart, and he's our Father, and we would not want to displease him in that way. So it's not a freedom to sin. No, and it's also, being under grace, it's not a freedom from consequences. Some may think, if I'm in grace, then I escape all the ramifications for my actions so I can go live however I want, because I'm already forgiven and I'm under grace and so I'm free. That's dangerous, right? And it's deception. Christians that think that way are deceived, because we have forgotten this, that eternally, that our choices have real-world consequences. They impact us, you know? When you make a choice to sin, it's going to impact you in all different ways. It impacts our relationships. I mean, how many marriages are impacted by bad decisions and sin? Wow. Or just parent-child relationships. Just think about it. I mean, or your health even is impacted, or even our witness as Christians. When we sin, man, it's hard for people to say, oh yeah, that your word's true, but you're just living like everyone else. See, we're not free from consequences. And that's not what grace is, being under grace is. And under grace is, thirdly, not free to be passive. Some of you think, oh, I have grace, and so I can just sleep on my grace hammock. I'm going to kick back and drink my mint julep up on my grace hammock, and I have to do nothing because God has done it all. And it's true, he's done it all, but you have to be active. You have to obey. The Word of God says this. You can't just coast. Grace is not just passively received and then you kick back and do nothing. No, it's active. It's a dynamic power. And again, last week, we're to be changed by God's grace. Verse 18 says it this way, and having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness. You see, again, under grace is not freedom to do whatever you want. No, it's our freedom is to freedom more and more to do what God wants. And the more we do what he wants and we pray, he changes our heart's desires. I mean, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He changes our desires to conform more and more to his as we trust him and look to him. The joy and beauty of being under grace is really seeing and savoring how wonderful what Christ has done for us. Do you realize that, church? You see, let's look now at, we've seen what grace isn't. It's not. It's not free to sin. It's not free from consequences. It's not free to be passive. But what is it? And here's what it is. It's free, first of all, from sin's power. Again, before we knew Christ and we received him, we were enslaved to sin. We could only sin. Even in our good works, they were still sinful because we did it to promote ourselves. We did not do it to glorify God. You see, sin controlled us in those days. Its grip was inescapable. But now, praise God, those of us that know and have tasted and enjoy being in an eternal relationship with God because of Christ and his work, his grace, grace has broken the chains of sin. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we sang about it just earlier, he has set us free to no longer live under sin's dominion. You are not controlled by it. Do you realize that? Some of you say, I've got this pet sin I cannot get rid of. You still struggle with it, but God has broken the bondage. You do not have to be dominated by that sin anymore. Stop deceiving yourself and start believing what Christ has done. You are free from sin's domination, and we have the power through the Holy Spirit, yes, to say no to sin and yes to his wonderful word and work. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. You see, you're free. You're free from sin's power. Isn't that good? Right? Isn't it good? Yes, it is good. It is good. Okay. But we are also free to serve a new master. Yeah, Paul uses here the imagery of slavery to illustrate this point. We are always slaves to something, and we're going to see next week that slavery in the Bible is different from American slavery. We're going to dive into that. But we're always slaves to something, whether it's either to sin, which leads to death, or to righteousness through Christ's work that leads to obedience. Grace is the thing that transfers our allegiance. We were once under the domination of the old man and sin itself, but no longer. I have a new master. It's not the enemy, the devil. It's Christ. He is our new master. And we lovingly, excitingly serve him, our new master, and find true freedom because of our union with Jesus. You know, just when I met that little blonde bombshell named Lizanne Adams, actually it was Dee Virgilio, I didn't have to be forced to say, I love you and I'm committed to you for the rest of my life. And we're going to grow in this relationship. No, she wasn't my master, so this isn't a perfect relationship. And I wasn't her master, but we were joyfully and lovingly committed to one another. And that's what here Paul is driving at. It's because Christ has done everything for us. He's loved us so well. You're like, I can't help but say, thank you, God. You're my master. Whatever you say, I'm in. Lord, thank you. Verse 17 says it this way, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So it's being under grace is free from the controlling, dominating power of sin. It's free to serve a new master, and it's also free for our hearts to be transformed. Look, grace is not just about outward behavior modification. It's not just how you look on the outside. It's how you are, verse 17 says, becoming obedient. What does it say? Obedient. Verse 17, from the heart. Obedient, become obedient from the heart. Grace changes our desires, our motives, and actually our very nature has been changed. We become more and more like Christ, driven by his love and want to please him in all ways. That's the life-giving power of the gospel. We no longer just dutifully obey. We do it out of so much gratitude, thanksgiving, and joy. Yes, there's obedience. Sometimes even duty takes over, but our motives are more and more to be out of grateful, thankful children that say, thank you, God. You're such a great father. You're so wise. You're so good. You've done everything for me. Make me more thankful, Lord. So we're free. And finally, what is grace? Grace, it is, under grace, is free to live holy lives. Again, grace does not just forgive us, it does. Thank you, Lord. It empowers us. It changes us. as we've seen, it causes us to live more and more aligned with God's wonderful word. The Holy Spirit within us changes our hearts as we see and savor grace. You know, last week we had a snow. Did you know that? All right. You guys are here. I love that. Thank you. And I was texting a buddy, and we were riding back and forth because we're looking out. He's in his home, and we're looking out our windows just staring at this winter wonderland. And my buddy texted me back. He said, there's a little kid outside my window and must be about a 2 years old, and she is just staring at the snow, just mesmerized by it. And I go, wow, isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? And this snow is beautiful. And it's magical, so to speak, especially when you're a kid. See, kids appreciate it, the snow. The first fall snow. They're like, wow. Some of older people were, oh, eh. Same thing is with grace. Man, if you're new in Christ, if you've just become a Christian, you're like, grace? Wow. But if you've been around the block a while, you might be just like, oh, grace, I got it. It's not so wonderful. I've seen that, been there, done that. Know about it. Check. Come on. Let's restore this wonderful delight and behold the wonder of Christ pouring out his grace to us. May he change our hearts and make us childlike. And as followers of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would cause our hearts to just sit there and stare and behold and have more awe and wonder of God's work as we look around and say, thank you, God, praise your God. And then that we would joyfully obey him, because our hearts are, again, growing in gratitude versus motivated by duty alone. And we become motivated because not just what we can get out of it, but because of all that Christ has done. Wow. Let's savor what Jesus has done. Let's taste it again. Let's have the renewed wonder of Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us. Verse 17 tells us about that, the standard of teaching to which you were committed, which he's talking there, we're molded by the Word of God, the written Word of God, and its supreme doctrine of the grace of Jesus. Verse 18, and he goes on to say, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. At Wheaton College, that's where I went. It was just a couple years ago. And there at school, there outside of Chicago, I had my freshman year after a football injury, and then just reading the Word, reading an autobiography by Johnny Erickson Tada. Man, I was just, my faith was revived again. And I remember near the end of my freshman year, I went through some hard stuff there, being all alone, 2,000 miles from school, was in the hospital a week, the first week of school, didn't know a lot of people. But by the end of the school year, I thought somehow I was never going to sin again. I mean, I was so excited about God's grace. It was like this fresh new moment. And I thought, man, I'm free. This is so good. Of course, I was deluded about never sinning again. I did. But I was excited about Christ's righteousness. That's the good part of it. Look, you know, it's true. I mean, it's kind of sad. We are going to continue to sin. Even though we have a new nature, we are under grace. Yeah, we're going to still battle with sin. And we can more and more grow in delight as we get older in our faith. Are you growing in delight? Are you more awed today by the amazing work Jesus has done for you? Or less? Are you staring at his grace and seeing and savoring what he has done for you? Wow, it's so amazing. So how do we live this out practically? Let me give you a few thoughts. First of all, we have to live in daily surrender, which we talk about moment by moment, repenting of our sin and daily offering ourselves, saying, Lord, you are take over every part of my life, every corner of my heart. Daily surrender. Then, secondly, fight to temptation. You know, when you're tempted to sin, you tell the devil he is a deceiver. I was going to say another word, but I'm not going to say it in church. He is a deceiver. And you can fight his lies by living and saying, God, thank you for my new identity. I'm your kid. I repent of my sins and I want to believe and live in my new identity. Yes, the devil is sneaky, but you have God's power to resist him and he will flee from you, James 4:7 says. So fight temptation. Thirdly, accountability and community. You're here. Great job. This is part of it, Sunday mornings. But look, get in a group. Do you have someone pouring your life into you, the gospel, and are you pouring into someone? This is so important as Christians. Are we doing that? Who's pouring into you? Who are you pouring into your life and the gospel? We all need this. We all struggle. We need to be growing in accountability and community. And then finally, grace-fueled service. It's not by, because, oh, I'm good. You know, I get saved, I'm good, and now I just go work hard. No, every day, Lord, I need to see your grace. Every day, Lord, I want to see how wonderful the work and person of Christ is. And when I see that and I stare at it, it changes me. And I can serve others as Jesus did. See, we should remember our hero, Jesus. He not only served us, Romans 6, here he has set us free. And it's true we'll never be sinless. And it's also true we will never stop fighting sin, and we shouldn't. But the great news of the gospel is Jesus lived the life we couldn't. He died the death that we should have. And he rose again, conquering sin and death forever. Do you know he's done that for you and me? Yes, I'm raising my voice. I'm excited. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, he allowed us to be dominated by his work and his control and no longer dominated by our sin and the enemy's control. No matter what happens in your life, you guys are good if you know Jesus. Do you know him, first of all? Do you know him? And if you do know him, are you living in the freedom for which Christ has set you free? If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are free from condemnation, free from sin's power, free to live a life of purpose, and all under God's amazing grace. Isn't that good, church? Amen. Amen. So, as we come to the Lord's Supper, I want to ask this question. What are you staring at more than Christ? Just take a moment to reflect on that and confess to God.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.